day.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host.
Mate.
The absolutely snowboardy fantastic.
I nipped in, didn't I?
You did. You got in there too quick, bird. The lovely Sarah Ann Lucas.
Flying through the air, yeah. 75 kilometres an hour.
I know. I'm still trying to get to grips with that.
It's fast, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, I've probably done that speed on skis, but I didn't mean to. I was falling off a mountain.
There is a funny story, because in Val d'Isère, there's this iconic or legendary slope called Le Fasse. And it's literally, I wish you could see it, it's literally just the black run. It's the hardest everybody does.
Has it got moguls halfway down and stuff like that?
You can do moguls, but it's just sheer ice.
Is it like the wall in Morzine?
Yeah, exactly. It's just sheer ice.
I've done that.
And it doesn't
matter. I fell down that one.
Yeah, so did Louis. And this is really interesting. He's a beautiful, beautiful snowboarder. He's been skiing since he was 3. So he's like full of confidence and everything. Anyway, so we're just about to start. We've come down. So we're just starting Le Fasse, and then his binding snaps. So if you know snowboarding, you've got bindings, you know straps.
Yeah.
Anyway, his back one goes, and he's like, it's all right, it'll be fine. I've got my toe, you know, what can I do? I'm halfway down Le Fasse now. All of a sudden, the whole of the back foot comes off. So now we're stuck on this ice wall. Right, okay, so we're on a black going down, okay. All of a sudden, he loses his footing, I'm serious, and he's flying down the slope on his bottom, and all you can see is this snow and this powder coming up. He's shaking. A skier stops him, manages it, grabs his board because his board's flown off somewhere else, and they went, "Hey, what are you doing about your board?" Louis looked at them and went, "Are you joking me? Like, I'm doing this for love." So it's true, you know, and he just went down on his bottom on Le Fasse. Well done, Louis.
So, and yours was controlled 75 km.
Of course it is. Anyway, Chris Hyde, it's lovely to see so much of you on Twitter. Well done, love. He's going off on one ear.
Is he?
He is.
What's he saying?
He's talking about the terminology is antiquated too. So, for example, GP receptionist isn't the same as 30 years ago. And they are now data analysts, customer relations, social prescribers. They're highly skilled and not just the phone picker-upper.
Yep, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, because you have to convince the GP receptionist that you're ill, don't you, before they'll even let you anywhere near a GP.
Well, it should be triage now. So they should literally triage you to a nurse, a qualified nurse.
We tap in, or we use the information from the National Career Service, and they're basically they're changing the names of different things all the time. Yeah. So obviously keeping on top of what a job was called 6 months ago is not now.
Yeah.
So actually keeping those up to date is...
And that's a really important, point, and thanks for bringing that up, Chris, because it changes the entire nature of the job as well, doesn't it? And gives you a different perspective on what you can do. You know, it could be like teaching and teaching assistants and classroom assistants and things like that. It's different ways of doing the type of work that you want to do under a different type of circumstance. Yeah. And if you get fooled by the job title, you might ignore something that would actually be really good and really enjoyable and really suit you just because you don't relate to the job title. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Daryl, can I ask you, because we'll just come back, because we're going to be talking about this forever. Why do you care about this? What is it that got you into this builder platform for employment?
I suppose I've got a son.
Mm.
So I don't know, just generally interested. I have been working in marketing for over 20-odd years. And when I set up my own marketing company a few years back, it gave me the opportunity to do some voluntary work. Mm. So I decided to do voluntary work with Young Enterprise. So I got really involved in working with schools and then obviously with Skills 3030. So the more and more I got involved, and the fact that when Kane was at school, so Kane had a stroke when he was younger, so he needed assistance at school. And I kind of really threw myself into doing what I could do to help him get what he needed. And I kind of, when I had the opportunity to do it, I kind of realised that sometimes the kids need someone to be shouting out for them and trying to do something to help them.
Mm.
So
it's always fascinating, the story, isn't it, to why you create it?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And to be fair, when I was employed by somebody else, I was never in a position to be able to do any of that.
Mm.
And I absolutely love it. I thoroughly enjoy getting involved, going to the schools, seeing the kids. can't stand being called sir. That's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, apart from that, it's really good. Love it.
Cool. Interesting. We're going to do a couple more emails and tweets, and then we're going to talk to Tracy. And then once we've talked to Tracy, we'll kind of come back to everybody and do a bit more on the whole skills, jobs, work thing. I want to tell you about an event that's coming up in March, on the 22nd of March, and you can book it today. It's the Grow Conference, West Kent Grow Conference. You're going to learn valuable techniques to help your business grow, and it's taking place at the Mercure Dartford Brands Hatch Hotel. That is the hotel that is on the complex of the Brands Hatch race circuit, so there's plenty of places to park your car. Quickly.
I see where you did that.
Yeah. It's in association with the West Kent Partnership and Best Misses Events, 22nd of March. If you want details, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/business-events and you can click on the link to book your place, find out all about it, find out who the speakers are, find out about the workshops and everything that is going on.
Well, I'm going to stay on the theme of women in business. So the Women in Business Lunch at Chilston Park Hotel is Wednesday the 3rd of April. Now, I think, and Ethel Bray, can you come to me at this? I think the quiz is the 3rd of April, I might be wrong.
I'm pretty sure it was the 4th of April.
Awesome. We just need to do that. But anyway, talking of Wednesday the 3rd of April, 11:15 till 2:30, it's speakers Belinda Collins and Katie Day. It's a great, great afternoon for women, always about 60 women in the room. So even if you think, oh, the speakers aren't going to be speaking about anything relevant to me, you've got to be there actually to meet the women who are in the room as well. And you need to go on to www.worldwideweb, which is kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Girling's Lawyers, yeah? And they said, we're looking forward to being on the Business Bunker next week.
I was going to ask this.
Yeah. So we're going to welcome Caroline Armitage from Girling's Lawyers, who will be a guest with us next week. So they get in early with their marketing, and why not?
Well, we can talk to them about employment.
Exactly. Yeah. We can.
Canterbury Business Awards. We've done that, haven't we?
Yeah, but...
But don't you worry, because we've got Maidstone Business Awards. I still can't enter them, Tracy and Daryl. And we've got Ashford Business Awards, and I can't enter them either. And
yes,
I'm a global business.
Yes, you can. You can enter the Ashford Business Awards.
I'm not in Ashford.
You're in Hythe.
I'm a global business.
It's not where you do business.
Oh my
it's
God.
Where you're based. You're based in Hythe, bird. Hythe. It's on the Kent coast. South Kent is where you are. It's where global headquarters are. You know, like Google's in Menlo Park. Yeah, Bird on a Bike's in Hythe. Yeah, same difference.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
What?
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm a global business. Yeah. Maidstone Business Awards, 27th of June. That's at the Mercury Great Danes. Ashford Business Awards. I still can't enter. Wednesday, the 28th of November. 28th of November?
Yeah.
I can't think that far ahead, Ashford International.
That's when the awards dinner takes place. You've got to apply before then. And being a global business, for you to collate all the data from everywhere in the world about your business.
I like your thinking.
All your overseas branches in Melbourne and Seattle and Lagos and Karachi and Val d'Azur branch. Well, you've got to bring all the data in from there to put your application in, haven't you?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for your help.
I've had a tweet from Pecunia. And they say, Vanilla, we're Bird on a Bike. We'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please. Great show today. Please give us a shout-out for our training workshop for SMEs on Tuesday the 19th of March at Chatham Dockyard. Getting your business more cash flow savvy is the workshop. Hard times are on the way, and we want everyone to be ready. So if you want to find out more about Pecunia and their workshops for helping small businesses, follow them on the Twitter, Pecunia, P-E-C-U-N-I-A 2016, Pecunia 2016.
Help us bridge the gap between school and business. A business owners, managers, join us at the FSB Kent to inspire the next generation of talent. Next event is at Hillview Tunbridge on the 13th of March and then Haysbrook School at Tunbridge on the 28th of March. Here's the details. So you go to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/3030.
Cool. I had a tweet from Alison Palmer at the FSB. She says, hold on a minute, because I was having a go at parents. She says, I'm a mum of three and I know loads of different jobs. I'm sure you do.
Is that what she said? Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, Twitter's really weird over at this side of the bench.
Mm. Cool.
How is that right?
What?
Well, how come your Twitter's different and you're like an arms... length away from me?
Because I'm reading things that people have tweeted to me.
Hold on a minute. I'm loving Chris High today. Loving you, Chris. Global Operations Brad, however the acronym means, needs some work. GOB, gob. Yeah, thanks, mate. I've just given you a massive hello. I'll take that back now.
We got tons of time. I'm trying to catch up with it all, and there's loads of people, and there's other people trying to get me ranting about other things.
It is entertainment.
Yeah, Oregon Training have gone, just to get you on another rant, they've posted a link about congestion costs the UK economy $8 billion in 2018. Don't get me started on potholes and congestion, I'll tell you. We could really get
annoyed. Also, Ethelbray are trying to get us on the old poking the bear thing, because they've showed us this tweet, and they said, thought you'd appreciate this. I'm not even going to tell you. You need to just go and look at it before. I'm not even going to talk about it on air. Very, very funny.
Okay, we'll have a look.
Exactly.
We got millions of tweets from the lovely Chris Hyder, Camellia Jennings, Oregon Training, all kinds of people tweeting about all kinds of things. They're trying to wind me up now. They're trying to get me on a rant.
Oh, please.
Yeah, yeah. You would have thought they're probably not listening. That's why. They probably turned it off and go, we'll leave him ranting on his own.
He'll never know we're not here.
He'll never know we're not here while he's having a rant, and we'll come back when we've had a cup of coffee and some cheese on toast.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But I want to talk to our next guest now. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show the lovely Tracy Ferguson.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Tracy. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
And weird.
Weird?
Yes. She's not weird. You're always listening, and you're one of our greatest listeners.
We've got no listeners.
No, we're like that.
The audience is in the studio.
Tracy's not going to tell us what she's doing today.
Yeah, yeah.
Really funny.
One of the lovely things about Tracy is she's a very dedicated follower of the show, and we really do appreciate that. Quite often, like a lot of people, she can't listen live because she's busy working and earning a living, but she always catches up with the show, and she's always got some insightful things to say about the things she hears. But we're going to miss that now, aren't we?
What do we do?
Tonight, I could listen back tonight.
You can listen back and go, I was talking rubbish there. You want to tell that woman. Tracy, it's an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio, though, and you're doing loads of interesting things. Just before we talk about the things we wanted to talk about, I wanted to talk about the things we didn't want to talk about. Well, we do want to talk about, but things that you've already done, because in the last couple of weeks you were talking about a workshop that you were going to run with Sue Plumstead, yeah? And you've now done that.
Yes.
And I've seen some lovely feedback on Twitter. Tell us how it went, what happened, what it was about, and how you feel about it.
Well, the workshop was called Learn to Love Yourself and Others with the lovely Sue Plumtree. So I know that Bert has interviewed her on The Conversation. Mm. And it's a really interesting subject that I don't think a lot of people really think about. There's that assumption that we're all okay in our relationships, whether you're in a loving relationship or a relationship with family or people at work. But actually, how often do we think about what we need in a relationship? And that's what it was about. So it was about, so Sue spoke about the five fundamental needs in a relationship. So, for example, if finance, something that people are always arguing about, if you're at one end of the spectrum, so you are a saver, but your partner or somebody around you is a spender, then it's very hard to meet in the middle. But that's really interesting to know, because you can then come to compromises. Mm. And I was very much talking about those times when we don't have a very good relationship with ourselves. So that might be because of things that we've heard in the past, things that we've listened to that maybe aren't true, but we believe them over the years. So how do we get rid of that? How do we first identify what that negative talk is, and then strategies to try and eliminate that or to turn down the volume on that? Mm. So it was a really lovely group. It's at the St. George Hotel, which is local, and yeah, really nice room there. And created loads and loads of conversation. So we got some really great feedback. People were saying, you know, they wanted to carry on the conversation. It was too short. And again, it was just that conversation starter. Mm. Interestingly, two men were there as well. So I was speaking to Bird earlier. It's not something that normally men would attend, but actually that male perspective did really add value to the conversation. So, yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to Sue, to Lisa, who helped us to put it on, but also to all of the lovely attendees who made that workshop so enjoyable for us.
It's very gratifying when something like that kind of comes together and works, is it not?
Yeah.
And it also shows you how much need there is for these kind of things. It's a funny thing. I think it's changing. But it's a funny thing about our society in the UK is we're very loath to invest in ourselves. We don't do personal training. We don't, you know, even people that are, you see it so often. I mean, with people that work for me, I offer them training courses and they go, oh, no, no, I don't want to do that. And I'm paying, yeah? So getting them to invest in themselves is really difficult, and it's a cultural thing in this country. If you go to the US, they go on personal training courses as a form of entertainment. They'll do three a week. They'll have personal, you know, everybody has a personal therapist. If you don't have a personal therapist, then you're just a failure, yeah? Whereas here, we just don't like any of that kind of thing. And we soldier on stoically, putting our entire life on hold all the time over silly things because we won't discuss it with anybody else. We won't address the issues. We won't think about it. So I love it when people like you do the kind of workshops you do and make a massive difference.
Thank you.
It's really good.
And I think I was probably one of those people who, right up until recently, I kept everything in. I didn't discuss. Everybody looking at me from the outside would have thought, you know, Tracy's sus, Tracy's fine. But actually, I was holding so much inside that through just having a better relationship with myself and finding out much more about me, it sort of created this desire. So talking about, you know, what you really want to do, created this desire to support and help others through what I've gone through and what I've realised about myself. You know, don't hold on to that for 50-odd years and then suddenly find, you know, that, there is something that you need to talk about.
Mm, absolutely. And this kind of leads us on into the next phase of what we're going to talk about, and what we were talking about with Daryl is knowing yourself.
Yeah.
Knowing what your skills are, knowing what your talents are, knowing what your wishes and desires are. Chris Hyde just posted a tweet in a similar fashion saying that also a lot of people attack the job market based on value. You know, what can you earn money at? You made a reference about working in banking and earning truckloads of money. And like you, I worked in banking years ago. It was, you know, back in the 80s. So you probably weren't there in the 80s, but I was. You know, back then, they just threw money at you. It was like being a professional footballer or whatever. They just threw money at you and you didn't have to have any talent at all. You just had to show up. But it's not always about the money. It, obviously, we have to earn money. That's the whole point that most of us go to work. But quite often, people will pick jobs to do because of the headline money.
Yeah.
And now you've also got this media thing where they forever tout people that make £1 million on YouTube or £1 million as some Instagram blogger. It's all nonsense. None of it's
six
true.
Figures by doing this.
It's all cobblers. But it changes the narrative. People start to feel that they're a failure because they're not earning six figures and they've put up two YouTube videos already, and I think that adds to the psychological damage that we do to people when we set them up as failures with things that weren't true in the first place, if you see what I mean.
And it's that unrealistic expectation.
Exactly.
So I think what Daryl is doing is showing that, you know, the realism of the particular jobs, which I think is a really interesting thing to do. So that's the second part, obviously, isn't it, of your program. I was just thinking back to, you know, me at 18, hadn't got a clue what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to art college, but for whatever reason, I'd actually got a place, but it was deferred for a year, couldn't go. Ended up going to teacher training college because it was the only option for me, or university. Did a year. And I just couldn't. I was teaching kids how to make pencil cases in my teaching practice, and I just thought, this really isn't for me. But my lecturers were so upset when I was leaving, and I didn't get it. I really didn't get it. But if I think now, I've really come full circle, because I consider that what I'm doing is teaching in a way. So I've just done my level 3 teaching adults, which is probably the only exam that I've ever used. We've just been speaking about exams, probably the only one that I've ever done that has been useful to me. But I'm doing it because I've realised that it's relevant and that I wanted to do that. So, I think...
That's really brilliant what you just said, because it's another one of those things that can make life difficult unless we fully understand it. Even within the skill set that you have, it's still not a given. You've got teaching skills. You want to deploy them. It doesn't necessarily mean you want to be a primary school teacher. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to teach teenagers hairdressing in a college. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways of deploying the skill set that you have, and that's the key thing, is understanding your skill set, and then even more importantly, understanding where you want to deploy it. And that's where we come back to this love thing about work that says, okay, now you understand your skill set, i.e. you've got a natural way of imparting information to people. Who do you want to impart it to?
Yeah.
What information do you want to impart? And under what circumstances do you want to do it?
Yeah.
Because they make a huge difference. And, it's sticking with the whole thing about teaching. You can teach things at different levels, can't you? To different groups of people under vastly different circumstances. You can teach conventional education to infants, primary school, secondary school, college or university, but you can also teach vocational training or software training or all kinds of things. Same underlying skill set, but not necessarily the same people suited to those things.
But it all comes back to this, and I meet so many people, especially on my radio show, which is
Have you got a radio show, Bo? I never knew this. I didn't know about this.
It's called A Conversation.
Is it?
You know?
When's it on?
Tomorrow.
Is it? Wednesdays?
Hey, it's 27 minutes past two. Yeah. I've done well today.
You've hardly said anything, have you?
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, on my radio show, it's a big thing, and the 7 What's 1 Who always brings this up. People don't know what they believe anymore.
They
really don't. I'll say to people, what do you believe to be true? And they'll go, so they are taking on board values and beliefs that aren't even theirs. That actually, are they mine? Or is this how I'm still living now? Does this matter to me? What matters to you?
Yeah.
You know, like for you, Darryl, I'm curious about, and you, Tracy, why you do what you do. I've always been like that. Now, years ago, I would have been called nosy, but now I could be called, it's so wonderful and trendy to be curious.
Yeah.
And it is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's this, wow. But 20 years ago,
absolutely,
it would be totally different. So what is relevant now? And what do you believe, my darling? That's where you've got to ask yourself, what do I believe to be true?
Absolutely. I mean, nothing. That is fundamentally very, very true. And it's why things are the way they are in terms of how those things that haven't changed haven't changed. 30, 40, 50 years ago, the kind of skills that we're telling people they need now were very much not wanted. You know, in an environment where we worked on production lines, you did not want creative thinking, innovative thinking that says, I wonder what if I change the sequence of how I put a hole in this. You didn't want any of that. You didn't want people to think and feel. You wanted them to take part in a process that was pre-done. And we still run too many things like that. You know, my mates at BT, they've still got that problem where they try to provide customer service based on a load of computer processes. It don't work. It never will work. And it's killing them as well as their customers because they're not being human about it. So all of those kind of things mean it's a moving target. What you might have done in the past, you might necessarily not want to do now, and vice versa. So, Tracy, you're working on something at the moment.
I am.
And I want to talk about that.
Yes.
Because you're working with us at Jobs in Kent.
Yes.
And you're putting together a careers fair for us. So give us the inside track on what's going on there and what's happening.
Okay, so Jobs in Kent is 20 years old this year.
It is indeed.
I think from what you've said, Paul, you have, with the digital world, a lot of stuff has been going on digitally. But I think the time is right for us to get out there and do something, particularly for the local community. So this is Medway Careers Fair that is sponsored by Jobs in Kent. It is at St George Hotel in Chatham, again owned by the lovely Roland.
Yep.
And it's on Thursday, 14th of March. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So there are going to be just over 20 employers there. So we've already got almost half full, so probably a little bit more than half full. And it is really going to be for the local community. So jobs that there are around at this time. So I think, Paul, you've already said that there are so many jobs there, but it's about finding people to actually do these jobs. So this is going to be a meeting place for people to come and find out more about the jobs that are available in the Chatham and Medway area.
Absolutely. And it's totally free, so it's free to everyone. There's no payment for either the employers or the attendees. But we're going to do a bit more than just introduce people to employees, because we've got some workshops going on and things that job seekers can do to help themselves.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got a range of employers there as well from different sectors, but we've also got my careers options there. So I'm going to be there and I'm doing some workshops. So they're going to be quite fun. They're sort of just in time workshops. So between 5 and 10 minutes. Some of them are going to be around the top 10 tips for CVs or interviews, and also going to do a little bit of networking as well. So getting people to prepare an elevator pitch. So how would you meet somebody? We're also going to be a lovely lady there from CXK, National Korean Service, and she's going to be doing CV reviews. So if you've got a CV, bring it along. She'll have a look at it for you. So loads of stuff going on. Job Centre are going to be there, and they are promoting their Blue Water training programs. So yeah, loads of stuff going on.
Yep, and obviously Jobs in Kent will be there with our 5,000 jobs. So
We've also got Kent Police and the South East Coast Ambulance Service there as well. So yeah, loads and loads of different people there, different organisations, and all in the local area as well, which is really important.
Absolutely, it's all focused on that area of Medway. Yes. So you know, it's we're not trying to push people into getting a job in Newcastle or London, or they're all local jobs. But what we're trying to do with it here, and one of the reasons we're so pleased to have Tracy on board with this, is we're trying to help those people that are struggling to find work because they're not sure how to find work. And that's a crucial thing for me. The jobs exist. I know they exist, and I know that you can find them and get them, but we need people to have help doing that. And it's another one of the failings we have in this country. It's actually illegal still to charge someone to find them a job. And I understand the rationale behind that, except it's not very useful. So, for instance, in the USA, it's perfectly legal to charge someone to find them a job, but it is federally regulated. So the fees are fixed by the government, and you don't pay the fees until you've been working 6 months. Yeah, so the potential to rip somebody off has been removed, and that's a huge worry, which I get. But the thing I find frustrating is that those of us that understand the job market can find people work. I rarely struggle to find someone a job. If I apply my mind to getting them a job, I can normally get them a job. Not that I'm a recruitment consultant, because I'm not, but I just understand how the job market works, and I understand how to go about doing it. And I find it incredibly frustrating, and you recognise this, Bert, as well, in your own family. It's really hard, even sometimes when you know what you're doing, it's really hard to get people into a job, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah. I think as well, so one of the things that I do with the Prince's Trust as a volunteer is helping support young people to get those skills, such as the interview skills, how, you know, simple things, how to conduct yourself in an interview, how to find out stuff about the company that you're going to the interview with. Really, really simple stuff, but it's not taught. And unless you practice things like that, you know, you don't stand as good a chance as somebody else that has prepared and does know how to go about that.
I'm going to rant again.
No, because I'm holding myself from ranting, sat here.
But I'm going to rant on a slightly different basis, you know, because one of the problems is organisations like us, Jobs in Kent, we've made it so easy that people don't put any effort in. You know, so one of the things that we see is people come to the site and just slam their CV and they just apply for everything. They don't give it any thought at all. They just go bang, bang, bang. And then they go, yeah, well, employers don't even acknowledge. No, but that's because they know you just scammed your CV to them. So they just ignore you because you're just wasting their time. And my big thing about finding a job is to target.
Yeah.
Decide what you want to do. Decide who you want to try and work for, and then target them. Research, find out as much as you can about them, and then approach them.
Yeah.
Not from a job point of view, but every day I get emails from people trying to sell me things. And it drives me nuts when they just spam me and haven't done even the most rudimentary research. And you think, why? You know, and I got one this morning from a company going, we're marketing experts. We can solve your problems as a recruiter. I'm not a recruiter. I've never been a recruiter. Why would I have problems as a recruiter when I don't do it? If you'd ever read my profile, you'd know what we do, but you don't because you didn't bother to look. And you're supposed to be you're selling yourself as a top marketer, and you've fallen at the first hurdle. So it's anti-marketing is what you're doing. And that drives me nuts because there's no excuse for it. It's just spam. and we must avoid that. And that's where so many people, I find, are making their mistake when they're looking at the job market. They're desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so desperate for a job that they'll just go, woof, yeah, have my CV, and it doesn't work.
But if you put the time and effort into that targeting, yeah, and have a CV that reflects what it is that you're looking for, with those, the, you know, those skills in there as well, the skill set, if you've got them, then that will reap dividends in the end, rather than just, like you say, sending out blanket stuff to people.
Yeah. So we're really looking forward to this.
We're kind of,
as Tracy intimated, we've gone back to this after 20 years. When we first started Jobs in Kent, it's what we used to do. We used to do 10, 15 a year, job fairs around the county, talking to people. And then digital took over and we started to do it all online and all on social media and all the rest of it. But we decided to go back to our roots for our 20th anniversary and do some face-to-face stuff because we think that works best. We're doing the Medway one first.
Yeah.
That's going to work.
Once
it's worked, we're going to roll it out around the rest of the county over 2019. So there'll be more coming to your area, wherever you are.
Yeah.
But if you want to come to the Medway one, you can. But it is about jobs in the local area.
Well, we've already got people excited in other areas of Kent as well, saying, you know, please come and do one here. So
Absolutely. So we're looking forward to that. So give us the details again. But we haven't actually started a marketing campaign, so we will be marketing it soon. Yeah. And if you want to find out when it starts, the easiest thing is to follow jobsinkent.com on Twitter or jobsinkent.com website and find out. But give us the details again.
So it is called the Medway Careers Fair, sponsored by Jobs in Kent at St George Hotel in Chatham on Thursday the 14th of March 2019, 10 o'clock until 3 p.m.
Fantastic. What else have you got planned personally? I know you're working with the Prince's Trust.
Yes.
I know you've been doing the workshops with Sue Plumtree. What are you working on well as the Jobs in Kent stuff?
One of the things that really excites me is how creative I've become. So again, I started off being quite creative when I was 18. I feel that I lost that, so I'm like so excited about some of the stuff that I'm doing. So you'll know that I do the Be Your Best Self workshop. So I've got one running in Sittingbourne at the moment, and I do those through Octavo, and then another one starting in Sheerness very soon. I've also got the Express Yourself Kids workshops, which I deliver in partnership with Wellbeing People in Maidstone. So that's what my lovely little kids character strength cards are about. So the next one of those is in April half term, and that will be in Maidstone. And I'm still doing some career coaching as well, so one-to-one career coaching.
Fantastic.
I volunteer-wise, so I do quite a lot for the Prince's Trust, so I'm a mentor, but also do some specialist work for them. And then for Optiva, I also volunteer every Friday as well. And this, I really love too. So it's supporting adults to read and write. So those people who never had those opportunities when they were young, you know, and some of them are the same age as me, maybe a little bit older, completely lost confidence. Mm. And it is just wonderful, really wonderful to see them blossom.
Yep.
Because, they can just do the simple sort of reading, writing their name. It gives them so much freedom and confidence, self-esteem.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, increasingly now, you just can't make your way in the world without being able to do those things. Once upon a time, you could kind of get away with it, but now you really can't. It really is almost impossible to function if you haven't got those basic skills. Yeah. Absolutely. Tracy, we love what you're doing.
Thank you.
If people want to find out about the range of stuff you do, what's the easiest way to do that?
So you can follow me on Twitter, Tazzy, T-A-Z-I-64. Or you can go to my website, which is www.tracyfergusoncoaching.com. I'm also on Facebook and on Instagram and on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. There's a link to Tracy's website on the Kent Business Radio website, and that will be there forever.
Thank you.
On this show, which is show number 414. Tracy, for the moment, thank you very much for that. Do stay with us. We're going to continue this conversation with you and Daryl and some other things we want to talk about. But we've probably got some more tweets and emails that we may need to cover.
It's gone quiet. They must all be listening.
Are they all thinking about
it? I'm serious. You can see it when we're starting to rant and Oak comes in. And then when they're listening to a guest, they all just fade away.
Yeah, because they're not trying to wind her up. She's talking interesting stuff, so they're listening.
They just want to poke us,
I tell you. What you got?
I have got Marsh Breakfast Networking in February. This is Thursday the 21st of February. Is it only me, but is everybody else getting really excited that we're now moving into the smell of spring? You can feel it, can't you? You know, like, ooh, middle of And we haven't even spoken about Valentine's Day yet. Paul.
Sorry, what?
There you go.
Yep.
February the 21st, 7:45 till 9:15. That's at the Shipping in Dimchurch, Marsh, networking over coffee. And that's on the 6th of March, 10 till 12 at Cinqport Arms. And it's www.worldwideweb. Which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marshnetwork.
Fantastic. You know, February the 14th is a very special day.
Is it? What's happening?
It's Mike Thompson's birthday.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. That's why.
I wonder why his mother didn't call him Valentino.
Yeah, yeah. He should have done
that. Maybe
really.
He should.
Or Rudolph. Rudolph Thompson.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you get it? Yeah,
I
yeah.
do get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or Romeo.
Romeo, yeah.
Oh, let's call him Romeo.
Romeo Thompson, yeah. He's listening, you know, Bert.
That's classic.
Yeah.
Romeo, whoa, Romeo, where are thou, yeah. Romeo?
He's listening, you know. Your show might exactly. go off the air tomorrow.
Can you imagine it when I'm trying to get hold of him? Romeo.
Yeah.
Anyway, very funny. Happy birthday, Mike, anyway.
I've had some more tweets from Chris Hyde.
Yeah, I've
talking
just seen
about
them
we were,
yet.
Tracy was talking about. And he's saying, Mark Twain said, we must unlearn what we have learned. I get rid of the head trash that was taught to us throughout life. That is so true.
Mm.
It is so true. It's one of the things that holds people back in their creativity more than anything, is believing they know something based on the past. And it may or may not have been true in the past. It could quite easily have been useful at some point, but isn't anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's irrelevant because the fear is the fear
We hang on to that.
Of course.
Hang on to that because it's what we know. And it becomes part of us and part of what we know absolutely to be true.
Yeah.
Except it's not. And we need to let go of it. So, Chris, that's a very important point. Thank you for that. I want to talk to you about another event that's coming up with employment. This will be the third one that we've run. It's an event with Kent Supported Employment. And it's an employability event. It's a totally free event, and it's taking place at County Hall in Maidstone, at the headquarters of Kent County Council, and with the education people. And it's on the 20th of March, and it's from 9:30 until 1 p.m. And you're invited to find out how businesses in Kent are benefiting from using a pool of talented people with autism and sensory disabilities.
We've just talking about this one.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to hear from the forerunners in business on their experiences of employing people with autism and sensory impairment, how it can benefit you as a business, and how Kent Supported Employment can support you to become a much more inclusive employer. Yeah. There will be presentations from Microsoft, the education people, Ronnie Wilson MBE from the First Step Trust, Paul Andrews, that'll be me, and people with disabilities and autism who are now in employment talking about how it's helped them and what they do. So that's at the Lecture Theatre, Sessions Hall, County Hall, Maidstone, on the 20th of March from 9:30. If you'd like to come along, it's totally free and you even get lunch. To register your interest, you need to email thomas.lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, at theeducationpeople.org. So do come along. This will be the third time we've run this event, and each time it's been bigger and bigger and bigger. We had 50 employers there last time. It's fascinating to hear from people their experiences, both as employers and as employees with supported needs, and to actually see how talented some of these young people are and how valuable they are as employees. Because, again, it's another one of those things that people don't think about.
Well, it's fear again.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have personal experience of that, but I know.
Mm.
And it is fear. You know, we've talked about this. We're fully aware of this, and we're not judgmental about this. We understand the issues, and we want to help. Most employment now is undertaken by small companies, and small companies do not feel they have the resources to handle people that have supported needs. Yeah, it's difficult enough handling staff at the best of times when it's not really your forte, but that's what scares them. That's why they run away. And the whole point of doing this is to recognise that and not to vilify them for it, but to say, but do you know what? You're missing an opportunity here.
But I get it.
Yeah.
I get why an employer wouldn't want to even start a conversation about this. Because it's an emotional territory to be standing on and to be talking openly about their fears.
Mm.
So absolutely. I absolutely get it.
Yeah.
And that's where, actually, when you go into this arena, you usually find the parents, and I'll speak for myself. So with Jack, say, for example, for the last, I mean, he's 22 now, the last 21 years we've had an open dialect. So you can upset me or him. Actually, the people who get upset are the people who have no understanding.
They've got nothing to do with it.
At all.
Yeah.
And they find it really offensive in the language that we use.
Yeah.
And I look at people and go, why?
Yeah.
And I can only give you a great example. We went to see, and if I've said this before, apologies, but I think it's a great way of looking at it. We went to see in the Marlowe, everybody's there, full house, watching the screenplay of the dog who was murdered in the night. So the curious incident of the dog in the night, who's about an autistic boy who gets accused of killing a dog in the night in the village. And it then comes through that actually we're scared of his behaviour and we've blamed him. And actually it was a simple misunderstanding from somebody else. And this young boy had no way of communicating. Mm. And here's the greatest thing. So you can imagine people are there, they're caring. They're like, oh my God, this is an amazing show. And in the interval, Jack's Tourette's kicks off, which is normal for us. Mm. I'm sat there having an experience, enjoying the show or not enjoying the show, having it's an emotional time for me. My daughter and my other son are there. So we've all got different experiences of the same experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Jack's Tourette's starts kicking off. I promise you, the looks, the judgment that people then put on us in that moment, Jack's upset because he's very alert to what people are feeling, thinking, seeing. He's amazing. But yet those people are there to watch an autistic play. Mm. Where's the irony in that?
Exactly.
And that is what you deal with. Yeah. So I would love to go there and let's have an open discussion about the fears, about the challenges, why you wouldn't employ Jack, for example, because I get it.
Mm. And this, in a subdued way, is part of an attempt to overcome those issues. But again, I'm going to rant again. The problem that we have is there are far too many people in this country virtue signalling and taking offence on behalf of other people. And the offence they take is based on no experience whatsoever of actually being involved with the thing that they're taking offence about.
You can't offend the parents or the child, ever.
Yeah.
No, you
can't. You can't, can you?
It's really weird, because I think of Kane, because Kane's 25 next week. Mm. But, like, literally, you couldn't offend him. Even if you tried, you couldn't offend him.
Yeah.
However, other people, and I'll say to him, oh, did you mention him? Like, no, not a problem. Like, in a situation, an interview or any situation, I will ask and say, like, you know, did you mention that obviously your left hand doesn't work or whatever? And he'll go, no, it's not a problem. Whatever.
Same as Jack. Why should he mention these?
Why
autistic?
Should I mention it? I haven't got a problem with it. They've got a problem. That's their problem. Mm.
Yeah.
And I think the funny thing is, I think it's everyone else. They worry about being politically correct or being... Yeah. I think the things like The Last Leg are brilliant.
Yeah.
Because they just desensitise all of that, which is what they need.
It's one of those strange things. As we've become more compassionate as a society, we've become less able to handle it.
I would even question that. I don't know if society has become more compassionate.
Well, I think...
I haven't seen it.
No. Yeah,
I'm being really honest.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think we've become more aware of our compassion, which is why I called it virtue signalling just now. The Kent Supported Employment session is a fantastic venue for understanding this. When all of that political correctness disappears all of a sudden, because there's no way that you can continue with a seminar like that and dance around the issues. Yeah. You've got to face the issues and you've got to be prepared to talk about them. Otherwise you will never solve them. And there is no problem. And, you know, a lot of people go, oh, this is an official, this is Kent County Council as well. This is an official organisation. If I say the wrong thing here, I could be well in trouble. And one of the things I love is Mark and the team will get up and go, don't worry about it. We fully understand your fears and doubts. And unless we can, you know, overcome those, we realise we're not going to get anywhere. So this is a perfectly safe forum for you to talk about your fears and doubts and why you can't feel that you could do it. But the interesting thing for me is how many employers there suddenly recognise the benefit of employing people with different needs.
Different abilities.
And different abilities, yeah. Because some of the things that appear to be drawbacks are actually massively beneficial. And people don't always think about that. You know, there was one lad who was severely autistic, but absolutely brilliant at web design. Okay. The lovely thing about him is that you give him a task to do and he will just do it, and he'll do it until it's perfect. Yeah. He doesn't worry about how much money you've paid him. He doesn't worry about his promotion prospects. He doesn't want to be the manager. He just wants to make nice websites. That's the perfect employee, yeah, in my opinion. If you're in the web business, what a perfect employee.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because he's supremely talented. He takes no management time whatsoever. As long as you let him design websites, he's as happy as a proverbial pig in a, you know.
But that's a skill as well.
Yeah.
You know, we've got loyalty, we've got fair, they black and white. You know, yeah, the language you use has to be super prescriptive.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense. Don't say, oh, can you do this? Because they'll answer yes.
Mm.
But they won't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, please do this. Okay, now I hear you. It's so simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but we all need to learn as well.
Of course.
It's really interesting. So I love those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what the whole thing about the supported part of it is about. It's about helping employers utilize the skills that are available. So do come along to it.
I was going to say, as an employer as well, I think it's important to recognize with anybody you're taking on, even taking on apprentices, unless you invest in them, no matter if they've got autism, they're an apprentice, they're 17, they're 19, whatever, unless you invest in the people that you take on board, they're never going to get the best out of them.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
And there's a school I'll work with. And they've got a group of kids that have got, you know, different levels of autism and stuff like that. And they call themselves the Autism Have Talent. That's the group that they get together. And it's so true.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
absolutely
so true.
My son's writing a book called The Autistic Guide to Being Normal.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I have to try and be normal to fit into your world.
Yeah.
But I can't use the word normal because you don't like me using it because it's politically incorrect. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
And the things he says, you just laugh. I said to him, you need to be a comedian, darling.
Yeah.
You know, but of course then he doesn't want to stand on stage because he doesn't want to be judged because he's been judged. Or, you know, all of those things then come. So it's a massive, all I ask is that we have an open and loving conversation. And that doesn't mean that what you say should offend me.
It's interesting that what you say, though, isn't it, about normal, because there is no such thing. There is absolutely no such thing as normal.
I'm not normal.
No,
I'm not normal.
Well, obviously I am, but everybody else is an idiot. That's the thing. No, but
please, that's hilarious. And there's your book title. Yeah. I'm normal, but everybody else is an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great book title.
Yeah. You know, it's a continuum, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's also, it's not just a continuum, it branches off as well, because you could appear to be normal in some areas, but a bit flaky in some other areas. So there is no normality. And I think, you know, over-labelling people can be a bit of a problem sometimes as well.
Exactly. I'm with you. It's a whole debatable conversation to have, and I love these. It's just, okay, let's have a talk. How do we feel safe about this?
Yeah.
You know, we're on global radio now talking about autism.
Yeah.
Ooh, what should we say? What should we? I don't care.
Well, you even shy away at using the word disabled, you know, and you talk about supported needs, you
special
know.
Needs. Or we've all got special needs, you know.
Yeah.
It's, oh, my goodness, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
I live with it daily. I know what to say.
Yeah, exactly. And you know how you feel comfortable about what you're doing and what you're saying and how you speak. And it's that those that don't know are the ones that we have to convince that it's safe to ask the questions, make the statements and tell you how they feel, because we can't put those two things together until you've overcome that barrier. And that's the key thing, is overcoming that barrier that says, I know that you're fearful of employing someone because you don't know how to cope with it. Yeah. But has it ever dawned on you that there are people that are apparently normal that are also quite scary to employ? Mm. You know?
I think it just comes down to it, though, that everybody's, you know, when you employ somebody, we're just scared anyway. What if we've employed the wrong person?
Exactly, yeah.
So actually, when somebody's got special needs or disabilities, or you're increasing the risk. That's
you've just hit a nail firmly on the head, because that has nothing to do intrinsically just with people with supported needs. It's everybody,
We're scared of employing
people. We're scared of employing people, and, you know, we try to minimise. When people, I've told people this about job applications, and so many people don't get this. The way that the job market actually works is that the average employer has a bunch of CVs, and what they're looking for is reasons to throw them away. Yeah? And then the ones that they couldn't find a reason to throw away are the ones they are left with, and they will interview. But it's a negative approach. What they're looking for is reasons to not deal with you any longer. So if you've written in colour on it, or you've drawn a picture on it, or, you know, you've put something that's stupid, they'll throw the CV away, because it's about discounting things that look difficult and ending up with a pool that you can't think of any other reason to not employ.
We've got loads of people talking about Twitter. I've got people coming in now telling me that they're definitely not normal either. I love it. So Joe Humphrey, I'm loving you. Not normal.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
I'm not normal. And there we go. Yeah. Hashtag not normal.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do T-shirts.
One of the hashtags that I use for the kids' workshops is hashtag it's okay to be different, because, again, that's about, you know, we're all different. Let's just celebrate that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's exactly right. You know, there is no normality. I just wish we could look at the range of different skills that people have and the different approaches they have and accept what they're good at. We're so focused on what people are bad at. It's one of, and I want to talk to you about this, Tracy, in the last minute that we've got.
Because this is the work that I do.
Yeah. But we've got like 1 minute to talk about it. You know, they're talking about scrapping GCSEs at last. It's only taken them 40 years to get around to that. Yeah. So from your point of view, give us one last soundbite, and then we're going to have to go, unfortunately. But
I would say that the work that I do is always play to your strengths, always talk about what people are strong at, look at what people are great at. You're never going to get better at the stuff that you're rubbish at, so why bother investing time in it?
Absolutely. On that note, thank you so much. We could have talked about this forever, but for the moment, I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests today, Daryl Lynham of My Careers Options, Tracy Ferguson Coaching, my lovely co-host, Bird on a Bike, who you can hear at 1 o'clock tomorrow on The Conversation.
Thanks.
But we'll be back next week with another Business Bunker show. I need to tell you to tune in to the Business Bunker Extra show on Friday at 11 o'clock with Amanda Flanders. And her guests this week are Kate and Keith Merrin from Athelbray, and her co-host is Gemma.
Are we going to get back behind the scenes? Some
inside info on the quiz. Yeah.
Come on, Amanda.
Hopefully. But that's really all from this week on the Business Bunker show. We'll be back next week with another show. Do tune in to the Bunker Extra show on Friday at 11. But in the meantime, have a great week and bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.